So today, we're in week number four of 5 weeks on getting better. You know, that's one of my life goals, to keep getting better. I don't care what it is, and I really don't enjoy, for the most part, doing things I can't get better at. Agreed? I mean, I want to get better. That's my heart. And that really prompted this series. And so I've been talking about things that I think are real practical, but I don't know if most people would think, like last week, oh, I'm going to think, if I can get more wisdom, I can get better. But yet, isn't that true? The more wisdom we have, wisdom applied, like I talked about last week. By the way, I suggested that if you haven't done it for a while or have never done it, that you read a Proverbs a day. So today is what? The 30th? And so I started, I haven't done that for a while. I have daily Bible study, but I haven't done that. But I started on the day we're on. I mean, like, I'm not going to start today on day one, because it'd be all confusing. So today I'll do 30, the 30th chapter, tomorrow 31, then I'll start all over again. So I really suggest that. It's just a practical way to get God's word in you. You'll be amazed when you read it, when you listen to it, when you absorb it, how something will happen that day, and the Holy Spirit will bring a remembrance back to you of that particular verse as it applies to your situation. So I've talked about different things, and today I'm going to talk about a good name. And that's so important. In fact, the Bible speaks to it in Proverbs 22:1. It's a great verse. Listen to this. This is something you can read over, but listen to the significance, the impact of this. A good name is more desirable than great riches. So I guess my question would be, are you going after a good name more than great riches? I mean, Solomon went after a good name before, and God gave him riches. Agreed? We'll talk about that a little more. God, he was asking for wisdom, and that was really a good name because he wanted to represent God well as he ruled his people. But a good name is more desirable than great riches. I wonder if we really believe that in this culture. And then it goes on to say, if you don't get that, then how about this? To be esteemed and well thought of, and that's a good name or reputation, is better than silver or gold. And I reminded you last week that they were valuable commodities in those times. I can't imagine. Just remember the Bible, the temple, just gold, covered with gold, 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 gold everywhere. It was such a valuable commodity in those days. But it's also these days, it's symbolizes and it actualizes power, wealth, and prestige. It's relevant for indeed. But Solomon was saying to us from experience that a good name and a good reputation outweighs the most valuable things you could have. Your good name is something that you must treasure, and you need to know how valuable it is. And really, it's how you live life that determines your eternal destiny. You're creating your name, your reputation right now by the way you live. And I just want to tell you this. It's not in the scripture here, but your good name, your reputation is a powerful witness either for God's kingdom or against it. Do you realize that? If you claim the name of Jesus, your good name has tremendous influence. Think about that. And it is influencing people one way or the other right now. So I want to ask you, you don't have to answer out loud. What are you known for? When people think of your name, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What do others hear, think when they hear your name? Well, it doesn't matter what other people think. Well, he's saying it really does, not to please them, because you're really honoring God with a good name. And I want to tell you, it's all vertical. What I'm saying today, it's not about caving in so people think good of you, because we can put on fronts for them and they can think one thing and we can be the total opposite, but it's really honoring to God. That's what I want to preface with this for. So what do they think when they hear your name? What comes to their mind? Is it negative or positive? It matters. It matters. So let me hurry to say, a good name doesn't mean you're perfect. That's not what we're talking about, because none of us get over being human, right? We are human. That's reality. But we can't make excuses for that. But we are being perfected by the one who is perfect every day. So I say this. Aim at, focus on the perfect one and settle for excellence. And I did a series some time ago, and I said, aim high. You never raise the standard of anything by lowering the bar. We think in America, if we could just lower the bar and let everybody in, it's going to raise the standard. It is not. It's going to dilute it. You keep the standard high. And so I say aim high, because if you aim high, if you're aiming for Jesus, if you miss slightly, you're going to be much higher than if you weren't. Agreed? Some of us live like Charlie Brown. Remember, was it Charlie Brown? He said, I hit my target every time. He shoots an arrow, and then wherever the arrow lands, he goes and draws a target around it. You remember? That's how some of us live. Well, we need to be careful here. So let me just give you a practical example. when I talk about peer pressure and the teens are in the service like they are today, I really bore down on that a couple weeks ago. But I also am smart enough to know that peer pressure doesn't end up in when you get out of middle school or high school, does it? And who you spend your time with and hang out with is going to greatly impact your life. You're going to become who you hang out with. It's true. In fact, you may not realize it, but if you look honestly in the mirror, you'll see that you're already becoming it. For example, here's one of mine. I love, and it's been through my whole ministry career as an adult, I love to hang out with generous people, and not because of what they can do for me, but they've greatly impacted my life over the years. Because part of their good name that they're known for, when I think of them, and I could give you names of every church I've ever served, is generosity. How many of you know you love generous people? I'm just using an example here. And I determined somewhere along the line, I want to be known as a generous person. And that has nothing to do with your means or how much you have, but it's being generous with your time, your talent, your tears, your touch, whatever the case may be, all those things. But I want that to be one of my strong character traits, and that to know that it really flows from my heart. I'm not trying to be like somebody, but I want to do that because I believe that represents Jesus. And as I live this out, then I believe that if I'm truly generous, that I believe it'll have a great impact on my family, my spouse, my grown children and their spouses, my grands, and even Worcester Naz. It's kind of like the trickle-down effect. You got that? So I'm saying a part of a good name, it may be generosity, but that's just something I'm using to say this is an example of what I want to be strong in my life. So I've just found that in most instances growing up and to now, that running with the crowd's almost always going the wrong direction. Have you ever found that way to be true? And if you go with the crowd, I used an example some time ago I just thought of. We went to an opening day in Cleveland. I think we went with Nate and Kayla and some others, and we rode we parked at whatever out and rode the train in. You know what I'm saying? That you can park out at these parking lots and go into that down from the stadium, that central area. Well, the funny thing was, it was a maximum crowd. It was packed out. And after it was over, that was no problem getting here. But after it was over, everybody went at the same time, and masses of crowds were under trying to catch the tram or whatever it was. And I'm telling you, it was the most comical thing I've ever seen. There's such a comment on life. Here were these thousands of people down there, and we were waiting. And somebody said, we knew what train we were supposed to ride, but somebody said, oh, the train's coming over there. And the whole crowd, they just stampeded over there. And that wasn't it, because it was opening the other side. And that happened like 3, 4, or 5 times in a row. And I just sit there watching. It said, this is ridiculous, but this is the exact picture of culture. Somebody, here it is. And we all go stampeding over there. I'm going to tell you, God's way goes against the grain. And it goes against the crowd most times. So this naming business, a good name. And I don't think the crowd's running toward a good name. I don't think most people care about it. They don't think about the eternal consequences and the present consequences. So I'm thinking about naming. So naming children. That has always great significance, don't you think, naming children? I a lot of times, in fact, I've just done it this week. Hey, where'd you come up with the name for your child? And some go, oh, I don't know, we just like the name. But more times than not, people say, well, we named him that because we met somebody or we had a favorite relative or somebody that had that name. And there's usually a reason for a name or a nickname. When I was a youth pastor, without trying, I literally had a fond nickname for every teen in my group. I didn't try to, but just some quality. It wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing that I saw in them. Because I believe that a good name is something to live up to, don't you? We like old shows at our house. We like to watch old shows like Andy Griffith, Barney Fife, Andy and all that. Lucy, some like that. But another one we like is Dick Van Dyke Show. Has anybody ever seen Dick Van Dyke Show or even know about it? All right. Well, black and white. So recently we watched one. I wasn't that familiar to it, but it's where Richie, their son, found out that his middle name was Rosebud. Does anybody remember that episode? And the whole show was based upon that, explaining, because what happened was he was in his dad's drawer and found his birth certificate, and he came out, in a major pout like he did and said, what's my name? Rosebud. What's this mean? My kids are going to make fun of me at school and all this kind of stuff. And so they spent the rest of the show telling him how they came up with that name. It was basically this way. They were having probably the first grandbaby in their family, I presume. And so his parents and her parents and a grandpa were at this gathering, and they were all insisting, you need to name him this. And they all had a reason for it. They just kept harping on it because it was their name or somebody that they admired. And so what Rob did to be a peacemaker, he took the acronym, and it was their acronym for Robert, Oscar, Sam, Edward, Benjamin, Ulysses, and David. And he said he was trying to tell Richie about, be proud, because these are all good names to live up to. That's a good thing, right? And so he bought it, and he thought it was wonderful until he came out later and said, I want to name my kid Rat. and had an acronym for RAT. It was hilarious. But be honest now. If you've ever been in this naming game with your children, did you ever reject the name that came up without explanation because when they said the name, it reminded you of a person that didn't have a good name or that you flat didn't like? It was a bully growing up. Come on, isn't that true? I would never name, because the first thing that comes to mind is something negative. Okay. I'm just saying that this is something that we need to consider. I want to know, how's your name? Your name is associated with how you're really living. And the Bible says that if you're not living up to your name, you'll be found out in the long run. So I want to, okay, I'm going to say some names to you. And I could go anywhere, but I'll just say, okay, what comes to mind when I say the name Adolf Hitler? I mean, he's been dead since what, 45? But what do you mean? I mean, and if you don't know who Adolf Hitler is, you need to go have a long talk with my son, Nate, the historian, okay? All right, but you know, most all of us, it's like there's a turning in our stomachs because of all the horror that he brought on the world. Ah, how about Billy Graham? I mean, he almost reached 100, but he's been dead several years now. But what is his name? I mean, there's some of you, if you look on TV, they still run his crusades. And a lot of you, and it's still meaningful to hear his simple but profoundly simple messages and to see the invitation just as I am and to see people hear George Beverly say, Ethel Waters saying, all those people. I mean, it's powerful. Oh, how about this one, Stalin? I'll bet you not as many know Stalin, and I'm not talking about like in a basketball game, but the guy Stalin. Many of you don't even know who he is, but he made Hitler basically look like a choir boy with the millions that he was responsible for of killing of his own people. Oh, how about this, Martin Luther King Jr.? What year did he die? 67? 68. Martin Luther King. I mean, we're still honoring him for his contributions. He was an imperfect man, as Nate pointed out, but God used him mightily. Oh, how about this one? Osama bin Laden. Do you remember the president coming on late one night? We were in Jamaica at the time on a trip, and I remember that's when the president came on there and talked about the death of Osama, and I got to tell you, I wasn't sad about that, were you? Maybe I should have prayed more that he'd find Jesus, but nonetheless, as far as I know, he never did. And then how about this, Mother Teresa? You know, we hear stories all the time, and I'm not even sure what year she died. I didn't look it up. But she left all these people that I mentioned in betweeners, the Oreo, you know, that I've offered, the good and the bad. She is well remembered long after her life. And I just want to say, all of you, your good name is building your legacy. What is it? What is it? And so the whole theme of this series is this, that a good name is better. A good name is best. Your name will outlast your life. Your good names point at God and they praise him from whom all blessings flow. And that legacy that a good name has will continue to influence long beyond your death with a positive impact. I still run into people that remember my mother from, and she died at 56, you know, in a car accident, 55 or 6, in a car accident. But I mean, I think a couple of my daughter-in-laws have met people at the hospital, even patients that found out what their last name were and said, are you related to Wilma Ward in any way, shape, or form? But her name is still remembered, and we remember the good qualities. She wasn't a perfect person, but her name lives on in us. And I think about this, too. I think about this verse, for example, one of my life verses, and I have several of them, as you know, but Proverbs 19:22, you probably know, but the King James, the New King James Version says this way, what is desired in a man is kindness. Another one says, kindness makes a man attractive. And Dixie and I had occasion to visit somebody in the hospital. It was an elderly gentleman, and he just is so kind and loving, and I'm not sure if he's always been that way, but he is now, and I told Dixie, I said, he just reminds me of that verse, kindness makes a man attractive. I mean, who doesn't want to be around somebody that's kind? That's part of a good name. When you're I never know where that's a bad thing where somebody's known for their kindness. Do you? All right. So let's talk about a good name a little bit. Let's talk about a good name. Socrates found this quote, listen carefully, you know, they write kind of in a complex way. Regard your good name as the highest, the richest jewel you can possibly have, the richest jewel you can possibly possess. The way to gain a good reputation is to endeavor to be what you desire to appear. I need to read that last line. The way to gain a good reputation is to endeavor to be what you desire to appear, what you want to project, what you want people to think you are. That's what he's speaking to. So I wrote this out of that. The real you is most apparent, who you are, when you think no one is looking. That's the real you. So I want you to look honestly in the mirror, and I want you to evaluate your name. Reflect deeply. Who is the you staring back at you from the mirror? Is it real you, or is it the projected you? Okay, so I just want to give you three positive things. I'm sure there's a lot more that about the positive nature of getting of the best of having a good name, and the three words are there. It makes you secure. It's attractive, and the third one is it's contagious. It's contagious. So the first one is secure, and I want to read the scripture right ahead. So Proverbs 10:9 illustrates this point in this way: whoever walks in integrity, and that's a good name. If you have integrity, you have a good name. And I got to tell you, if you're in Christ, you become a new creation. Part of that new identity, you're going to have a good name. I don't care what your name used to be. You're going to start walking in, with a new name, a new identity. So whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. In other words, if you're projecting somebody that's not the real you, there are people that are going to know who the real you is. And when your name comes up, they're going to go, they're going to have that sinking feeling. Have you ever had that occasion? You know about somebody that's factual and how they're living. And when somebody says their name, they're all high on them, but you know another side and you just have a sinking feeling. Come on. Well, that's not judging. It's things that you know. We've all had that occurrence happen. It's like the proverbial little boy whose hand was caught in the cookie jar and denied it, that he was taking cookies, but he had chocolate all over his hands, all over his face, but he still denied it. He lied and he denied it. And I'm saying that many times we do the same thing. We lie and deny. We try to cover our tracks to no avail because the Bible says we will find out, but it says be careful about that. Be the real you all the time. If the real you isn't acceptable, then own it and repent and apologize and make it right. But your good name matters because there are people watching your life. So here's the key again. You cannot walk securely if you're not walking with integrity. If you're not living in truth, you cannot walk securely. You'll always be looking behind you. You're always going to be wondering if they know the real story. You're not even sure what your stories are because they're getting all mixed up. You may present a good face, but you know you're looking at and watching things on your devices that you shouldn't, that don't honor God, don't point to Him and praise Him in any way, shape, or form. And if it's no big deal, why do you hurry and scurry to delete it, to hide it, whatever? You know what I'm saying. Or what about this? You have a habit of just talking about others behind their back, seeing negative things, landing on negative things. And if people hear you after a time, they're going, well, I know when I'm not here, I know who you'll be talking about. You'll be talking about me in a negative way. You cheat and take shortcuts, take the easy way out. And claim you're living with integrity. You don't give an honest day's labor for a fair day's wage, thinking that somehow you're entitled and they owe you. That's something we don't talk enough about. You're involved with inappropriate conversations on Facebook that are suggestive, and some of you post those things, and it's embarrassing. I get embarrassed when I hear about some of the things people post. If they don't have enough sense to be embarrassed, I'll be embarrassed for them. And then we're sending and receiving texts that should never be typed, much less sent. I'm just giving you some practical things that are in our real world. Whatever the area may be, and I could go on, if you're not walking with integrity, you won't be walking in security. I don't care what you project on the outside, you're going to always think that somebody may find out. You're constantly trying to hide, constantly trying to not be discovered. But when you walk in integrity, there is security. You can relax. There's freedom. You can build your confidence and build a good name no matter where you've been. You know what I've seen over the years, and I'm sure I've experienced in my life, that many times there's just such great relief when you're actually found out. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had that? You were doing something as a kid, sneaky, your parents found out, and it was such a relief because then you could cry and apologize, and you could have a clean break and have a new start. So this is redemptive, this scripture verse. God wants us to have a good name. And as your good name grows, your confidence will begin to thrive and you will reflect God in new and even greater ways. And I really want you to encourage that. I think about that scripture, you know, that you'll be found out. This is quoted to many of us kids growing up. Be sure your sin will find you out. And that's basically what this is. And the answer is have a good name, walk in integrity in all things, all the time. Get your focus off of yourself. Get your focus on God and others and keep it there. Instead of reacting, pray for God's blessing. I was thinking about this good name and how we represent Jesus, and I guess I could lump this into the second point that about attractive, but I'll forget it. So I just want to say it. I got all kinds of response when I talked about people. We get us getting all upset around Worcester because there's all this road construction, not the least of which is this roundabout, and we have all these opinions, and we're griping and grumbling, or Panda Express not opening, or whatever the case may be, or somebody that's driving like you did, but when they do it, you're mad at them, and you have road rage. You know what I'm saying? And I got thinking about it. You know what? I was driving over looking over the construction. I thought, how many times would it change our attitude if instead of griping about that, we started praying for the construction workers that we can see for God's blessing on their life? Huh? Well, it reminded me, Dixie and I were coming home after a visit somewhere this last week at camp meeting, and there was horrific traffic jam where there shouldn't have been one north of Columbus. It was rush hour, but I mean, it's forever. You couldn't see for miles and miles. I mean, time started going by. And when we got to the area where there was a mess, it was a horrible accident. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, vehicles were upside down. It must have been fatalities. But I just automatically started praying for those people and the families that maybe were finding out about it. How many times in real life situations would our witness be much more attractive if we started praying for people instead of cursing them? Huh? Or even if you think somebody that's acting, driving in a nasty way, thinking, if they get this upset over that, there must be really problems. Lord, bless them. I don't know where they're hurting, but obviously they are. They wouldn't be acting this way. I want to tell you, their attitude may not change, but yours will. And it doesn't matter. You're not doing it for them. You're really doing it for Him. Is that making sense? The Bible says, pray for those that are a pain in the neck. That's my translation. That's my paraphrase. You can find that in Romans somewhere. All right. Well, your confidence grows the more you can walk in security because you have nothing to hide. The second thing is it's very attractive, and that's close to being contagious, but attractive. You know what attractive is. And I mean it in this way. Have you ever heard something like this? Your reputation precedes you. In other words, if we're fixing to hire somebody to do something at our place, our property, what do? You try to find references, or you get on and you find how many stars they have. That's because you don't have a clue who they are, but if other people have used them and they have a good report, then you're much more willing to support them, aren't you? Because they have a good name. Their reputation goes before them. Your good name goes before you, whether you like it or not. Your name goes before you, good or bad. It arrives on the scene before you do, your name. What about your name arrives on the scene before you do? Because it does. You're not to blow your own horn. That's not what I'm talking about. But a good reputation does open doors of opportunity. Agreed? That's why if I have a good experience with somebody, I brag on them, brag on them, brag on them, brag on them until I hear something opposite. And even if somebody's negative, I'm going to say, no, you don't know them. I've known them. They've done work for me multiple times, and I want to stand there. I love the story. Dixie and I, with others, went to see Don Knight's daughter and at the Star Theater in Sugar Creek. Anybody ever been there for any kind of a drama? It was good. It made me feel real good. Dixie and I are in our 60s, and we were the youngest people there by far. I just felt so good about that. We're the only ones that didn't have, you know, all the accessories that you need. And I tried not to limp, especially on that day. She did a 2-hour monologue, and it was really outstanding. And this is his daughter. I think she's 69 years old now. But the only bugaboo I had, I mean, it had a great sound system, but she had a mic like mine, but it was EQ'd horrible, and my hearing isn't the best, and I was struggling on the edge of my sleep. I keep asking people, what did she say? What'd she say? Everybody's laughing. What'd she say? What'd she say? And they were interpreting. I almost need a signer myself for that. But she told a little story about it with her dad that I thought was really neat because I grabbed for things like this because I want to see the best in people. And he wasn't a perfect man. He was a broken person. But yet, at the same time, she said, have you ever wondered why Barney Fife left Andy Griffith after season 5? Did anybody wonder that? You have ever the answer for that? He said, here's why. I'll give you the inside story. She said, basically, when Andy went to Barney and said, we want to hire you for this, I want you to sign a contract for 5 years. And they said, I don't like these shows that run on and on and on. So in the meantime, when it's come to year 5, Barney thought, wow, I got to do something. His popularity had grown through the show. So he went to an unnamed picture company and said, they agreed and did a handshake, a verbal agreement that he would be in 5 feature films for this studio, and he would be the star, probably. I don't know if he knew he was going to be a star, but he agreed that. Right after he did that handshake, verbal agreement, Andy Griffith himself calls him up and said, hey, Barney, we're gonna let this season run. It's really so popular, successful, we're going to let it run. And Don Knotts said to Andy, you know, I love being on your show, but I don't feel like I can do that because I can't do that because I've already verbally committed and given a handshake to this studio and agreed to do 5 films. I'll come back and do some guest appearance. That spoke volumes to me about integrity because, see, I hear people all the time with tears talk about their dad or mom or grandparents where they sealed deals with just their word and a handshake, and their good name went before them. That's what I'm talking about. So an offshoot from this, I was thinking back to the story of Solomon that we talked about a few weeks ago. And you remember when the Queen of Sheba heard about his fame? Because God granted, you know the story. He said, give me the wisdom to rule your, he didn't ask for riches, but he said, I want wisdom to rule your people well. And so God gave him that and gave him all these riches, and his good name and God's favor on Solomon's life began to grow. And for that time, I don't know how you say it, but Solomon's name became a household name. His name was preceded him. And so the Bible says that she wanted to come. She'd heard about him. And I want to pick up in chapter 9, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles. It says, when Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. She arrived with a large group of attendants and a great caravan of camels loaded with spices, large quantities of gold and precious jewels. When she met with Solomon, she talked with him about everything she had on her mind. I wonder what that was. But Solomon had such a good reputation, good name that went before him. Famous, like I said, it got to her and she said, I got to find out. I can relate to that because when I hear a podcast or something about Oakmont Bakery, how great it is, I want to go there and experience it for myself. And that's exactly what she wanted to do. She wanted to experience Solomon and his wisdom and all the pomp and circumstances. So she went there. And I wonder, as I read that, I wondered, what in the world was on her mind? Don't you wish the Bible would give you more clues? And here's what she asked. I don't know. But in my mind, I thought she probably asked him, how in the world can you have 700 and some wives and 300 and some concubines and keep them all happy and meet all their needs? You know, I mean, I wonder if she asked him that. Maybe she didn't even know. But I wonder how long they talked. The Bible doesn't say how long they are. I always want to fill in those details. That's how the Bible comes alive for me. But then in 2 Chronicles 9, 5, we read this. She exclaimed to the king after her visit. Listen to what she said. Everything I heard in my country about your good name, your reputation, about your achievements and wisdom is true. I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here and I saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of your great wisdom. It is far beyond what I was told. Wouldn't that be neat if maybe we had our good name arriving before us, but when someone, we got there and we interacted, they said, I heard that you were kind or generous or fill in the thing, but what I've experienced is that and even more. Don't you want that? Don't you want your kids and your grands to see that in you, those kind of qualities, those kind of characteristics? Wow, it was true then and it's still true. Your reputation goes before you, and it's either attractive or unattractive. Your good name, your reputation is to be valued. So when I mentioned a little while ago and you had those gut feelings about Billy Graham, particularly and Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa, I just want to remind you that they were given names at their birth, and some of those, the people I mentioned, their names were changed throughout their lifetime. But here's the deal. They didn't have a great name just because of a name they were given at birth. Do you understand me? It was built due to the integrity of their lives, you know, following God's calling and doing what God asked them to do. And because of that, they had great influence then and they have great influence now. And every one of them you know, even though they're all dead and gone. A good name and a reputation is so desirable. I wonder if your good name, if anybody was out there and was knocking you down, I wonder if you've lived a good name long enough that there would be people that come to your defense and say, oh no, you're speaking of so-and-so, but I know them, they're the real deal. They're not perfect, but they're the real deal. Because I believe when you have a good name that there will be people come to your defense. I believe there will be people that respect you who don't even necessarily like you because the same person shows up. Teens, I tell you all the time, it goes to everybody, but I think a real key in high school, I think I hit it 2 weeks ago, but I'll say it again. It wasn't hard to live for Jesus, and there was peer pressure back there, you know, when I was at school, many, many ways too. It's so similar to the same things. But if you're the same person, a real person, the real you showing up every day, they're going to accept you for who you are. It's when you're in stereo or surround sound, and they don't know which you is coming from anywhere. You follow me? Be consistent and they'll respect you for it. It was true when I was growing up. It's still true. It's still true. Yeah. Have you ever been any place where you were somewhere and you were out of sight and people were talking about you, either good or bad? Did you ever have that occasion? Seriously, I have. I remember being in a locker room getting ready for a basketball game at Mount Vernon, and I was in the stall getting ready for some reason, and there were a group of guys in there talking about me. And it was positive, but I still didn't go out and go, ta-da, here I am. I mean, when you hear people talking about you and you, they don't know you're there, how many of you know it's awkward? Yeah. But I'd much rather have what's being said to be good than to be negative. Your good name matters. Well, finally, I need to hit this one. When I say it's contagious, a good name is contagious, a good reputation, I would say this, that a good name is really inspiring to others. When you claim to have a good name, but you really don't live it out, it's deflating, it's disillusioning to others. But when you have a good name, it's contagious, it inspires others. What would it be to have your kids or grand or somebody look up and you go, when I grow up, I want to be like you. Have any of you ever felt a guilt trip because somebody says, I want to be like you, and you grow up and you're thinking, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, I just must be being transparent. You never experienced those things, but I have. So I heard John Maxwell on podcast this week, and I had in my notes before that John Maxwell says that leadership is influence. And I think he would say that a good name or reputation, that has the power of influence, great influence, because it often causes others to desire to follow in your footsteps. In other words, good name and reputation, it leaves tracks, it leaves footprints behind. But I also heard him on this podcast, and he said, and I want to bear down on this a little bit. He said, this is recent. I think he was on Kerry Newhoff Leadership Podcast. And he said, he was being interviewed. He said, yeah, let me tell you. He said, when I was in my 30s, that's when my book started selling. I was pastoring the sixth largest church in the United States at that time. And he said, I just had to give myself a reality check, and I had to think, sort out what really matters. And he said, so I decided I was going to come up with my definition of success. And he said, it took me a long time. I didn't do that in a day, an afternoon, a few hours. It took me months. But he said, listen to me. He said, here's what I came up with. And he said, and I still live by it. I don't know how, he's in his 70s now. But he said, here's my definition of success. When those who know me best believe in me and love me the most. Isn't that good? He said, I can wow arenas. I can fill it up. He said, I ought to be good. He said, I've spoken, I forget how many thousand times. He said, I ought to be getting better. When I pull in my driveway, it's what my wife and what my kids and what my grands really think and who they know I am. That's what really matters, not what I say from the platform. Here's the way I was having a conversation with somebody this week, and I said, here's a good way to put it. Are you the person your dog thinks you are? Dogs love everybody. Don't get high on yourself, too high on yourself just because your dog loves you, because they like anybody. But that makes me think, Charlie Brown loves me. When I get home, he'll yelp and whine. Well, that just makes you think. I want to be loving and kind. I want to be known for that. I remember when I had my teens, we toured the country. We went on choir tours, all kinds of things we called it back then. But I remember one of the songs we sang years ago. It wouldn't be cool now, but we sang some Gaither songs. And this particular Gaither song was called I Am Love. I am love. I can risk loving you because the one who knows me best loves me most. That's referring to God. And if that's true, that relationship, loving God, loving people, shouldn't it be the same application with people created in his image? All right. Powerful, powerful influence. I can think of a man named the Apostle Paul. Can you? He had a good name and a reputation. And when he was instructing new believers and followers of Christ that were following the way, they weren't sure if they could walk it out because persecution was ramping up. He encouraged them in this way. Listen to what he said. Does this sound cocky or braggadocious? Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That ought to be exactly how we're living, or where we're living. Hey, I just want you to know if you're following me, it's not me, it's not about me, of how good I am, it's about how good God is. And I want you to know that if you're following me, you're not just taking a walk, we're following him. That's what he said. In other words, I want you to know that I'm keeping my eyes and focus locked on Jesus so you can follow me with confidence because I'm following him. His sacrificial life was attractive, contagious. It was an inspiration to many to keep on, to even suffer persecution. Listen, if you're a true follower of Jesus, not just a professor, but a possessor of life in Christ, if it's real, you must be concerned about a good name and a reputation. It's not about ultimately what people think, it's about what God thinks. Your life should be inspiring, contagious before others. You're going through such times, but you still have joy, and you have a contagious love for Jesus that's irrepressible, and you still, as Andre wrote, you still have a song, even when things seem to be going wrong. That song is powerful. I've got so much going on in my life. I'm chasing myself. I'm busy, busy, busy. My hands are full. I feel like I'm just chasing the wind. But you have such a peace in your life. I want that kind of peace in my life. Your life makes me hungry, thirsty for more. As a full-time follower of Jesus, you can walk in such a way that others look at your life and say, I want that. And I know it's not you, it's not me, but it's the resurrected Christ. It's that same spirit and power living in us. How contagious, how powerful, how inspiring. You may not see yourself today as a person that's contagious or has an inspiring, as an inspiring person, but I can tell you, you do have significant influence. There are people watching your life and drawing conclusions about the name. And if you have Jesus, you're to represent the name that is above every name. You're to point to him and praise him at all times. Now, I could ask you a bunch of questions. I had them listed here, but I won't. I could ask you, sports fans, who won the Super Bowl in some off year? You wouldn't know unless you looked it up quickly or unless it was your favorite team. Or who won an Oscar for best actor, actress, or whatever? What musician's song chopped the chart such an obscure year? You wouldn't know. But let me ask you some questions that you do know. Hear me. This is relevant. Who was a leader who inspired you to be something? Can you think of somebody? That's what the podcasters, you know, Craig and Carrie, they asked them, who was a key influence for you? Who was a leader that inspired you to be something? Who was a teacher that believed in you? You have got great teachers in the congregation. Who was a teacher who believed in you and they even called out your behavior and said, you can do better than this. You're better than this sloppy work you're doing. Who was that teacher that you're rising up now and calling blessed? It's like Mr. Clark, one of my government teachers in high school. Remember that after my senior year, he wrote me a handwritten note just bragging and saying good things about me, and it was really something to live up to. He didn't know that probably the best thing I'd ever accomplished was pastoring Church of the Nazarene in Worcester, Ohio. He didn't know, but God knew. Who was a teacher? Who was a coach that believed the best on you? They corrected you, but it was to draw the best out of you. Or who was a friend that was there for you and stuck by you when through thick and thin, you know? I'm telling you today that fully devoted followers of Jesus, as them, you have influence that impacts others, your name, your reputation. Live for Jesus. It's in you. It's a difference maker. Cherish your good name. Now, I can hear some of you saying as I wrap, Pastor, I don't have a good name, I have a bad name. It's not popular to say bad or good, but I have a bad name. You can count me out because you don't know what I think and what I do, where I've been this week. It's too late for me to make changes. And I'm kind of groveling in this verse in Revelation that I know all the things you do, that you have a good reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Well, that's not the end of that story. You can read on, but that's kind of where some of you're in Eeyore land. That's where you're living, keeping your nose. You may feel numb or even emotionally dead today. People think the worst of you, not the best of you, but I want to say this, welcome home, because you're among friends. Because none of us have had a good reputation at all times in our life. Do you hear me? In fact, the Bible still says in Romans 3:23, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is that scripture still true? Of course it is. So don't hang your head and think it's too late, it's too much, or you're too, T-O-O, anything. No matter where you've been or where you are today, there's hope and help. Every person must come to Jesus humbly by way of the cross that I always mention. Jesus is the one who can restore you and give you a good name. And you know what? When he gives you a good name, a new name in glory, you get a new identity. What's your new identity? What is it? I am a child of God. I get to live for him, to represent him. I want to have a good name that reflects him in every area of my life. That name above every name is the one you represent, Jesus, and he wants to give you his name and identity. The Bible says in Galatians 5:13, just summarizing, you've been called to live in freedom, not bondage, a good name. You walk in freedom, and you walk in security. You walk in freedom so you can serve one another in love. You may feel far from God today, but he's near you. It says in Ephesians 2:13, you've been united with Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. You may feel unlovable and unacceptable today, but here's good news. Romans 15:7, accept each other just as Jesus accepted you. Christ accepted you so that God will be given glory. Wow, that's what we live for. And then a verse I may have alluded to earlier, did first service, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You have a new name, a new identity. Your name matters. Your name matters. Your name matters. People go to great lengths in the courts to clean up their name. They do that sometimes. Well, Pastor, I'll say again, you don't know me. You don't know where I've been, what I've done, what I did last night. No, I probably don't, unless you posted it on social media and somebody read it to me. But I do know of someone who made a living persecuting and killing Christians. And God saved him and called him and changed his name, gave him a new identity, and he ended up writing nearly half of the New Testament. And his former name was Saul, but he became Paul. And you know what I read? Well, I'm not Saul. I'm not an intellect. Well, here's how I look at it. My name isn't Saul, it's Nathan. But if God could do that for Saul and turn him into a Paul, I think he can probably do that for me. That's not arrogance, that's humility. I mean, he's all that. He was all that. But if he could do, listen, if he could do that for him, he can do that for you. All he needs you to do is answer the call. Maybe he needs to do a whole lot more of getting our face down in the dirt off the mule or whatever we're riding, huh? So we could grovel against those things, grovel in the dust and look up. There's hope for you today, because it's not about your badness. It's about the goodness of God. Don't let the past determine your future, the trajectory of your life, because that determines where you're going to land eternally. Well, I'm done. I've done so many memorials. I haven't kept track of them, but there's many, and I still scroll through it all the years. I have them, all the services and all the years going back to when I came. And I'm still shocked when I read down through that list and I see some of your loved ones and people we've known. Just shocking that they're not with us now. But you know where the greatest regret is when I sit with families and all that, we're preparing for services? It's where there's been all kinds of brokenness and there's not a good name. You know what I'm saying? You would think that the more loving the relationship and connected to family, the greater regret, but that's not true. The greatest regret is when there's all kinds of brokenness and there's not been a good name. I can't tell how many times I've been there, and maybe they're in my office or I'm in their home, and we start talking and say, I just want you to talk about some of their characteristics, and there's dead silence. Because everybody around the circle knows that they did not have a good name. They weren't nice people. They didn't have very many good qualities, and it becomes very awkward. Or in a service where, and I've learned the hard way, hey, anybody here have anything good to share about brother or sister so-and-so? And there's dead silence because everybody's thinking about, I'm not going to say anything because if I did, it'd be lying if I said something good. I'm telling you, good names matter. You're creating tomorrow's legacy before your spouse, your kids, your grands, by the way you live today. So be honest in everything. Absolutely. Always keep your word. Don't make promises you can't keep. Value a good name as your most precious possession. But here's what I want to leave you with mostly. Don't do it for them. Do it for him. That's where we so often get tripped up in so many things we're doing for Jesus. We may get emotional. We may come to the altar and cry and pray through on something. And then when we go to make amends or make something right, they don't react or respond the way they think we should, so we think it's all null and void. That is not true, because you're selling at the altar. What you're selling is, palms up, Lord. Everything I do, my good name and reputation, it's not about me. It's all for you. Are you following me on that? So it really doesn't matter how people respond or react, because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for him. Do it for him. Do the right thing for him. Honor your name as a precious jewel. Do it for him, because you're representing him and all. And I don't know about you, but I want my life to be attractive. I want my life to be contagious. Do you? I want my reputation to precede me. Well, the Lord help us. I'll ask you to stand if you can, if you care to. And we're going to just sing a little bit, come in for a reprise before Pastor Joel closes. I want to pray. By now our altars are always open. And the reason we do that is because now is the best time to pray. Because a lot of times, oh, Pastor, good message. Or it really hit me in the gut. Well, what did you do about it? Because like I spoke last week, the only thing that's going to change your life is applied wisdom, not wisdom alone. Solomon had wisdom galore, but he didn't apply it to his own life. And his own life was torched at the end. And the same for us. So that's why we always open the altar and encourage you to come and pray. And we don't want people to get in your space. They're there to help you if you need it. But it's just to talk to God. If you want to be alone, come to the stairs and just pray. But, man, we got to take action, because the Holy Spirit's so faithful. He's here today, and he talks to you about your attitudes, the way you're going about, the way you represent him. And he's not mad. He's glad. He's making corrections to clear your name. He wants to give you freedom. He wants to expose those chains, somebody told me today. He's not condemning you. He's saying, let's deal with those chains. Let's get those chains out for you so you can walk in freedom. So would you respond in obedience today? You know, it just starts with a big yes in your heart. It doesn't matter what you do physically if you haven't said yes in your heart. That's where it begins. But sometimes a physical obedience as well is helpful. So, Father, thank you for your help once again. Just practical good stuff from your word. We want to have a good name and reputation. We want to be the real people that we want people to think we are. We want to be the person, the real person, same person at church as we are when nobody's looking. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict us. I thank you that you don't condemn us, but you convict us. You point out areas in our life that need to be redirected and corrected and inspected. And we welcome that, Holy Spirit, because we want your power living in us to be transformational. So I pray that you would talk to us and make a practical application about all this in our lives, starting in our marriages, in our home, our families, and our work, at school, wherever we may be. And we say, this year, I want to represent the name of Jesus very, very well. I want my reputation to precede me, which is really his reputation. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So thank you for the great truth from your word. And I thank you for the attendance of these precious people here in this room, online. And may we continue to walk in obedience. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.